Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your presence in this place today. I thank you for your presence in your people. And I just ask, Father, that we become more aware of you. And I thank you for that. I say you'd speak to your people, enable them to hear. That you would receive glory in their lives. And I thank you for that opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope this is an encouraging word to you today. As usual, I have a lot of scriptures, and then I always comment, and who knows where that goes, but I really believe that we sell ourselves short, and we don't see ourselves as how God sees us, and therefore we don't accomplish a lot of the things that we could in God if we just take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on Him. So I want to encourage you to be all that you can be in His kingdom, because you are called and you have a purpose. I'm going to look briefly at a little story that you're all very familiar with, and then we'll go on from there. In Matthew 14, verses 22 through 32, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Now there's a lot you can gain from this story. There's really some principles, I believe, that will elaborate the purposes of our life. So I hope you grab hold of this, and honestly, I hope you live different after today. Because if God speaks to you, you should live different. Yeah. You should be different. Just one word from God can radically change any person's life. Amen. See, Jesus is and was the demonstration of what a citizen of heaven can do on earth. So we should look to Jesus pretty much for everything we do. Jesus demonstrated that by what? Only doing what he saw the Father doing. See, the supernatural, which is really just heaven's activity, right? The supernatural on earth is the natural of heaven. So our struggle in our lives is to live in our heavenly culture while in our earthly culture. So we're stuck between heaven and earth, between the culture of heaven and the culture of earth. And so often, we live out of the wrong culture. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Sometimes we live like we're still waiting for the kingdom of heaven to come, when the kingdom of heaven already resides within us. Remember, everything we do is about us in Jesus and Jesus in us. Yeah. Our struggle is to let him out. Matthew 10:7 says, as you go, preach this message. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples, of which I hope you are one. And he's talking to them while they're on earth, but he's giving them a heavenly message. So here's what you're to do if you're going to act from heaven in the earth's culture. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. See, the supernatural on earth is the natural in heaven. What we seem to forget is wherever we step is heaven. If you can't say that, then you're not a citizen of heaven. And that's not a harsh statement, that's just the reality of it. Either what Jesus said is true, or it's not. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, I have keys to my home. I use them to get in. I have keys to my car. I use those to get in. So I can use my car. What was the purpose of giving us keys to the kingdom? We're not going to use them. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's principles for us to tell us how to live while we're on earth. Matthew 6:9, I'm just touching on a few of them just so you understand. There's two cultures. And they're really not at war with one another because one's already won. Live from it. Matthew 6:9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what does this say? You get to carry the will of God everywhere you go and manifest it wherever you go. Why? Because he's given you the keys to the kingdom. Use them. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 and 17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That's a big statement in and of itself. Because if you'd live that, you would live different. I know I would. You know. Try it next time if someone cuts you off on the road or, you know. Think heavenly. No, really. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, capture this. If the power of you in Christ, and Christ in you, is this. If anyone, I think you're included in that, anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. Say it again. The old has gone.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
Okay, just in case you didn't hear it. The old has gone.
It's gone.
Don't resurrect it. Don't remember it. It has no bearing on the future you have in Jesus. None. The new has come. So, first point that I get out of this little story is we have to have desire to do the will of the Father. Where did I get that from? The disciples saw Jesus walking on the water. Only one had desire. There has to be a want to. Okay, and in relationships, it's not a I have to, it's a want to. Peter was the only disciple that desired enough to pursue walking on the water. Now, I go through a lot of situations every day of my life. I'm sure you do too. And I'm sure I miss a lot of opportunities because I'm not desiring what God wants to do in this circumstance instead of me just getting whatever I think I need to get done. See, all the other disciples just wanted done what they wanted done. And they missed an opportunity. They missed their calling. So we need to ask for desire. 1 John 3, verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Now, you don't get anything you ask. See, there was a little bit more to that scripture. Some of us just want to stop there, and then we complain because we don't get what we ask. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Jesus demonstrated what life should look like on earth. What did he do? Only what he saw the Father doing. Our desire should be to do what the Father wants to do. Matter of fact, our desire should always be, God, let's go out and play and let him pick the game. Honestly, that's our adventure. That is really our adventure. 1 John 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We need to ask for that desire to permeate in our being. We need to pursue. See, we pursue by keeping our minds in the kingdom of heaven. Colossians 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, our thinking should be of a heavenly mindset. Why? Because that's the culture that we were born into. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, I'm not going to get into my views on a lot of things, but I think we sell ourselves short. There's a story about an animal that was always chained. I forget if it was a bear or what. Doesn't matter. It's you. And all you've known is the distance you can walk in the chain. And you've gotten content living there. And Jesus came along, set you free from the chain. And all you do is keep doing this, even though you're not chained. And it's for freedom he set you free. And you never get it in your mind, because you're still thinking from an earthly past, that I'm free to walk on water. Because you're called to walk on water on this earth. Now, don't go out of here and drive over to Lake Michigan and say, hey, I'm going to test out this theory. That's literally not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you're called to take what's considered supernatural and make it natural. That's what God will have you do. Something no other person could do because they do things from an earthly culture. You can do because of who's in you from a heavenly culture. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But you have the mind of Christ. Use it. You know, literally, it's a tool on your belt. Use it. Think like he thinks. Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Wherever you go, you've been given the ability to demonstrate to others true righteousness and holiness. Something the earth does not know or understand, it must be demonstrated. You're carriers of it. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm going to say this. His good, pleasing, and perfect world comes from his kingdom, comes from a heavenly culture. You carry that into an earthly culture. You want to see the earth transformed wherever you go? Do his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Later, I'm gonna read all of Romans 8, because I think everything you need to know to live the way you're called to live is right there. And if you grasp it, you'll never have a sin mindset again. You'll live in the freedom that he's given you to live in. The freedom that everyone else desires that you can show them. I want to say this. Peter was the one that recognized he was called. A lot of us do good things. We come to church, we're faithful, but we never step out of the boat because we don't believe we're called. See, Jesus said, come. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created you. I don't know what you see when you look in the mirror. Start need to see who's in you. See, you are called to resemble God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. See, you are called to represent God. You're not some fake imitation. He's given you his likeness. You may be the only God the next person you encounter will ever meet. You may be the only way they will ever meet Jesus. First Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen, called people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, you are called to be his. You are called to be the light. Because you are called out of darkness into light. You're now in a culture of light that brings it to a culture of darkness. Do you understand what you carry? Do you understand your calling? You are called. How do we do this? Well, Jesus said, why did you doubt? Faith, I'm very simple in my thinking. Faith is simply knowing. If you know what Jesus says and you know what Jesus says, then you know what Jesus says and you do what Jesus says. And faith is pretty much knowing. We spend a whole lot of time wondering, instead of just knowing. See, Jesus saw what the Father was doing. I didn't see him spend a whole lot of time of deliberation. Is that really you, God? Yeah, I know that person's dying, but really? No, he didn't deliberate at all. He did what the Father was doing, and he brought life. See what the Father's doing and bring life. See, Peter saw the wind and got afraid. What interests me is it doesn't say he saw the water. Doesn't say he saw the waves. I don't know about you guys, but I think I'd have hopped out of the boat or I'd have been looking down. Like, this is cool. How does this happen? I'm not sinking. And then I've been looking at Jesus. This is cool. Right? No. What did he do? Took his eyes off the supernatural becoming natural and looked at the natural and was afraid. See, we need to be heavenly focused so we can walk above life, above the water, and not let the circumstances, the wind, overcome us. John 5 says, Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. We've talked about this. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. See, Jesus was walking on the water. Now, got to give kudos to Peter. At least he tried. But they all had the opportunity to be heavenly minded and see what the Father was doing. I don't know, it would have been pretty cool. Miracles are pretty cool. The opportunities we have to bring heaven to earth is pretty cool. John 14, verse 12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. You with little faith, why did you doubt? They all could have had a great time on the water. You will do even greater things than these. Wrap your minds around that one. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Okay, I need to speed up. You know, I really like scripture, so I use a lot of it. Plus, I figure you don't need to hear me talk. Hearing the word is really what changes us. Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. James 1, verse 2 through 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Oh, yay. I have trouble relating pure joy to facing trials of many kinds. Yeah. And here's why I have trouble. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. See, it's the knowing part. See, sometimes we look at the trial and we forget about the knowing part. If we have the knowing part, then we have pure joy. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. See, the heavenly culture is activated on earth through faith. And faith is focusing on Jesus. It's really that simple. The walk of faith is led by the Holy Spirit. I'm getting done to close to being done. So don't like check out. You got to do communion anyway, so. This is really important. The walk of faith is led by the Spirit. Quit trying to lead yourself. We've talked about lordship before. Quit trying to be Lord. Quit trying to do good things for God. Do God things with God. Acts 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, sounds like a pretty good thing to preach the word wherever you go. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Sometimes we interject ourselves in circumstances that he's not calling for us to interject ourselves into. Right. And then we're like, well, yeah. We need to spend more time desiring, pursuing his presence and his will and what he wants to do than looking at all the things that we could do for him. Maybe he just wants someone else to do that one. When they came to the brother of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to the Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The walk of faith is led by the Holy Spirit. You, this whole message is about you being called, by the way. See, you're called to walk on water. It is only done by sacrificing your will to the will of the Holy Spirit who resides in you. So I said I was going to read Romans 8. I'm going to read Romans 8. This, to me, sums up everything in life. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in me. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in you, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now, I don't mind talking about sin, but I don't talk about sin much because, frankly, you're not sinners. And if you have trouble with sin, your mind's on the wrong things, you don't realize what Christ has already done for you, if you've given your life to Christ and you are born again and are a new creation. And if you're a new creation, you don't have a sinful past. You only have a glorious, righteous future. Live out of the future. Quit resurrecting that which was taken care of. We identify with the wrong things too often. And when we do, we're weakened in the world that needs to see Jesus strong. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set what on the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You know, every day you have authority to declare life and peace over your day. You should try it. I do. It's pretty cool. It changes everything. It changes everything. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. You want to know how you heal the sick? Have the Spirit bring life to their mortal body. I do it. I don't feel good. I tell them, okay, this is your problem. Holy Spirit, you said you would quicken my mortal body. If I'm not feeling good, it reflects poorly on Jesus. No, really. It's his problem. It's his problem. And you know what? I don't question if I don't feel better. And it takes, it's his issue, it's not mine. I get to live in life in peace. Now, that's not a knock on Jesus, because he knows things way better than I do. I don't understand sickness. I don't understand people dying prematurely. I don't understand a lot of things. But I don't have to sweat it. He's taking care of it. I get to live in life in peace. And when I do, I get to consider it all pure joy. Why should I bear a burden that I'm meant to bear? Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to conclude with this. A lot was said today. A lot was said. And I really believe Holy Spirit wants to bring revelation and truth to you guys in a lot of these things that were said. And if you'll grab a hold of it, you honestly, your life will be different. So I want to say this. I'm going to pray and have you come forward for communion. You. Look at yourself. You are called to make the earth resemble heaven. You are called to make the supernatural natural, because you are called to walk on the water. But Heavenly Father, I ask that people that have heard your word simply open their hearts to receive what you say to them, that it would bring glory to your name, that they would live to the potential of their calling, that they would not fall short of the glory you've bestowed upon them, that they would let their light shine to a world that needs it. I thank you for people that have a desire, that are willing to pursue and walk in faith and let you lead them in their day. I thank you that you have plans for their future to cause them to prosper. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to do more than you ever did while you walked this earth, because you've said they would. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to live now to see us bring you glory in how we live. Yes. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. And we want to do that in showing you to a lost and dying world. And I thank you for that opportunity. I bless your people. I bless them with more awareness of your presence in their lives. Lord, you take care of it all because you've taken care of it all. And we can live in the bliss of your presence, knowing that you're always with us. You'll never leave us, for you are provider. You are protector. You are peace. And I thank you for it. I bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Come for communion.